You are listening to Larry Connors, USA.
You want answers?
I think I'm entitled.
You want answers?
I want the truth!
You can't handle the truth!
This is Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA. Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
April the 23rd, 2021. Hear this. While you're sitting wherever you are listening to this program, there's a desperate effort to save 53 members of a submarine. The U.S. is helping, as is Australia. An Indonesian Navy submarine is down and they can't get it up and they're worried. They don't know if it dived too deep and they had a problem or they've had some other kind of major issue. More than two dozen ships and planes scouring the area for 60 miles north of Bali looking for the sub. They think they've got it narrowed down, and now what can they do to get the 53 on board that sub safely out? They could use your prayers for this point. U.S. Border Patrol Del Rio chief is saying that individuals, we've been telling you this, and now he's bringing you documentation, the individuals they're catching are not just from Mexico, not just from the Northern Triangle. He says we have evidence and some involving high-speed pursuits in neighboring counties to catch them once they got across the border. Individuals from 67 different countries caught coming across our southern border. And for everyone who thought, well, it's just Mexican citizens or it's North American citizens, we have told you repeatedly. We have found some from Yemen. We found them from Pakistan. And we don't know if they're coming across seeking for a new life or they're coming as forming terrorist cells that will be activated at some point. And he's also pointing out they've had a number of sex offenders caught, those who had been convicted of sex crimes. A 2,000% increase. So they're coming across illegally, some bringing drugs, some are convicted sex offenders, and we're turning them loose in our country. Texas Attorney General Ken Paxton filing a lawsuit against the Biden administration demanding the Department of Homeland Security quit holding off on Title 42. Title 42 is the Centers for Disease Control authority that says federal immigration officials can shut any border down at any point if we're getting people across and we're worried about the health of American citizens. Well, we have to be worried, don't we, about COVID? You have to live under restrictions. Illegals can come across and move about the country as they please. There's a whistleblower reporting on some of the problems along the U.S.-Mexico border, reporting that DHS officials on the border, Border Patrol and others, are just burned out. Not a lot of optimism it's going to get any better anytime soon. That's not a surprise, but again, to get the verification. And there are new images from a southern border area showing migrants being taken from one of the hotels we put them in and taken to an airport. Where they go from the airport, your guess is as good as mine at that point. What is Kamala doing? Vice President Kamala Harris, who was given the authority and direction to step in and do something. She's on a trip today. No, not going to the... She's not even going south. She's going to New Hampshire. But she does plan a meeting, a virtual meeting, with some of the folks of the Northern Triangle. Yep, that's about all they're going to do. Biden saying we need to slash our carbon emissions in half by 2030, and we're going to do it and be net zero by no later than 2050. And yet his energy climate czar, John Kerry, says if the U.S. and China both got to zero today, we still couldn't change things. There's a hospital worker in Italy. This guy could set a pace for a lot of folks if you could make it happen. He has, for the last 15 years, skipped out on work. 15 years he skipped out. He's still got a salary. How do you get that job? Or not that job. 67 years old. He's made something like $647,000 during that time and has not reported to work one day in the last 15 years. Yeah, you got to give him some credit, I guess. Oh, Caitlyn Jenner stepping forward. Caitlyn Jenner saying, I'm in. She's running for governor. She signed on that recall in Newsom, and she says, put me down. Caitlyn Jenner, she wants to now be governor. And former President Bush revealing that who he voted for, in 2020, he did not vote for Trump. He did not vote for Biden. He wrote in Condoleezza Rice, his Secretary of State when he was in office.
Larry Connors, USA, news and commentary.
Most of us are taking precautions to avoid COVID in public, but what are you doing to make sure your home is free of COVID? Wellington Environmental is the answer. And here's the great news. Wellington's average cost to professionally treat a home, less than $300. Less than $300. And the cost for treating most offices, not much higher. Be ready to copy a phone number to get on the schedule as soon as possible. First, let me remind you, if you want your own professional fogging device, Wellington sells them, priced $500. But say you heard about it from Larry Connors, save $100. If you want your home or office professionally disinfected by Wellington, here's the number, 314-644-4930. Again, get on the schedule early, 314-644-4930, 644-4930. Be well with Wellington, Wellington Environmental. This segment of Larry Connors USA is brought to you by my friends at John Beal Roofing. Covering homes and businesses throughout the Midwest. Best quality, lowest prices. John Beal, 1-800-NEW-ROOF. 1-800-NEW-ROOF.
And I think it's gonna be a long, long time. Touchdown brings me round again to find. I'm not the man they think I am at home. Oh, no, no, no.
This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
Hey.
What's going on? Hey, what's going on?
Hey, get down! Get down! Get down! Get down!
It happened that fast. That's 11 seconds. 11 seconds, that's from the shooting that took place Tuesday in Columbus, Ohio. There'd been a 911 call, and the 911 call basically saying someone out here is trying to kill us with a knife, got a knife, and so forth. At the time, police did not say who actually made the 911 call. I don't know if they didn't know. And I will tell you this, in many cases, they even if they knew, they might not have wanted, because some folks in the neighborhood might, if they made the call, they don't want their name put out there. They were just calling police, but there have been reports, and I've been still looking for full official confirmation, that the caller was actually Makia Bryant, the girl who ended up being shot, 16 years of age, that she's the one calling and saying these people are out here with a knife and everything. So her grandmother or niece, she's a foster child, whoever is kind of watching over at that point, did say that she made the call and that she got a knife to go protect herself from others. But when the officer pulls up, he doesn't have any of that knowledge and information. He rolls up on the scene. There are girls kind of pushing each other around. Makia is seen pushing a girl to the ground, and she's in the video, you don't see the knife right away, not from the vantage point the officer was apparently looking, at least according to his body cam. A neighbor across the street had a ring-type camera set up on their doorway. They have since submitted that video, and you still see her pushing one girl to the ground. And on that video, you see the girl grab her stomach. I don't know if she felt like she's hurt at that point, but was she stabbed again? So much is happening. And what you just heard was 11 seconds. So the officer pulls up. He's been on the force 16 months or so. 23, 24, I think, maybe 26 at the most. Yes, he's kind of a rookie officer, and he suddenly got into this thing. When he pulls up, he sees these girls, teenage girls, and some of them it's hard to tell if they're a teenager or maybe older. But they're pushing and shoving each other around. No reason to have a gun out or anything at that point, and he doesn't. But at some point, he sees the knife, and he'd already been told, at least the 911 call said, there's someone here with a knife trying to kill us or whatever. So he's been given that information. Then he does see a knife, and he immediately pulls out his pistol. He starts hollering for Makia, the 16-year-old, get down, get down, get down. Now, she might not have heard. There's a lot of yelling going on, and she's intent on attacking the woman, the girl next to her, because she's raising the knife as if she's going to stab or slash at her. This is all what the officer is seeing. And in that moment, he makes a decision to save the girl's life that's going to be attacked. He shoots the girl with a knife, which was Makia. And the girl who was saved later, when she's walking to one of the patrol cars, the officer asked what happened. She said, well, she was trying to get me. But he stopped him. Talking about the officer stopping. Well, of course, and once everybody's away from the scene, they start looking at it. Then you can really evaluate and break it down. And, of course, it's all fine and nice for those of us in the comfort of our homes and wherever we are in our life or whatever. We watch this and you start forming judgments. What could it have been done differently? And so that question's going to be there. But when it's you and you're in that situation, the officer was an indirect threat, but he was acting to save another life, which you could have the headline. You could have the headline, white officer saves black girl from being killed. But, of course, that doesn't work with the narrative. And immediately the race card gets pulled. And yet, what I don't get is how do you pull the race card when he's actually saving another black child? Makes no difference. It's a white cop, a black child is shot. And here comes one of them from CNN, appearing on CNN, left-wing author Ibram X. Kendi.
When I look at that video, I ask myself, if that would have been a 16-year-old white girl in a wealthy suburban neighborhood, would the police officer have sought to disarm this girl? Would the police officer sought to talk her down? Would the police officer would have used lethal force? And it's hard for me to believe that that would have happened. It's hard to me to believe that that officer would not have responded differently for a different girl in a different community.
Does he have any basis for that, really? No, he doesn't. When he says it's hard for me to believe, well, that's his perception. He can have his own perception. And yes, the cry that police officers are killing black men, young black teenagers all over the nation, in a disproportionate number. Let's make it clear. More whites are shot by police than blacks, but they're talking about a disproportionate number relevant to their, in reference to their population numbers. So Kendi is making his statement that he believes that how it went down, Ibram Kendi. It had been a white neighborhood, it would have been a different situation. Do you think so? What if there are two white kids and a knife is being pulled and getting ready to be stabbed in another? The officer would say, well, wait, that's a white kid. That's really pushing the race thing to the limit that you're losing the entire side of humanity and people. It has nothing to do with the color. He's saving a life in his mind at that moment. But yet, that doesn't, again, fit the narrative. I know it does make any difference if the child he saved was black. He was killing a black person to do it. Cornell Brooks, former NAACP president.
It is not wrong. It is, in fact, right for people to ask, is it appropriate? Was it the right thing? Was it a necessary thing for a police officer within minutes pulling out his gun and firing four bullets into a teenager's body? What if it were your daughter? What if it were your child? What if it were a member of your family, your neighbor? in a essentially a teenage fight, a schoolyard fight.
What if it were your child that was about to be stabbed? Why don't you ask that question? Regardless of the color of your child, what if your child were about to be stabbed? What do you want the officer to do? Let the stabbing take place and then break them apart? You want to just say it's just a schoolyard fight? Well, what kind of, we don't want that attitude in our schools, but I guess, and we're going to hear in a moment that it happens, obviously. We know it does. And when it does, if it's a knife, it's better than a gun, obviously. They're going to make that issue. But here's the former NAACP president said it's not wrong to question could the officer have done something else, and why would he do it? Just basically stop what amounts to nothing more than a schoolyard fight. This is taking place in front of her home. It's all out on the street, no schoolyard. But again, to the remarks of supplementing that same point again, left-wing author Ibram Kendi.
I know many people feel as if they did not witness police work. They witnessed someone being killed and even potentially murdered. And of course, like with any other case, people are going to be outraged that someone did not come and de-escalate the situation, disarm that girl, so everyone could have gone home safely that evening.
Speaking of that, where were the adults in that area? Where were they? The girl that gets shoved to the ground by Makia Brown, that is shoved to the ground before she then turns on the girl in pink and has her up against a van. The girl can't really escape, and that's when the officer fired. When he arrives, they're tussling around, and he sees the girl shoved to the ground. What his camera records, but I don't know if he even saw it at that moment. There's a male. I can't tell if his face is covered or they blacked it, and they covered it to some extent, distorted it because they didn't want to identify someone else. I don't know if he's a juvenile. I mean, the other girls are clearly visible, but this is a male. He actually kicks at the girl that's on the ground now. Now, is he related, Makia Bryant, or a friend? But once the girl is on the ground, he kicks at her while Makia turns with a knife on the other girl. He looks big enough to be an adult, but he's certainly bigger than any of the girls there. He wasn't making any effort to stop it, but aside from that, where were any adults? Were they all just kind of sitting and watching from a distance? There was a second call to 911, but they hung up because they also arrived right as they got through on the 911 number. And then you've got everybody second-guessing what the officer could have done. Could he have done a taser? In that moment, I've told you this repeatedly, if the suspect escalates from fist or even a baseball bat to a weapon of death such as a knife, an axe, a gun, the officer's going to escalate. Was he threatened directly? No, he was not. Was the other girl threatened? Yes, she was by all video. Makia Bryant is raising the knife almost above her, not quite above her head, and she's got the girl pushed up. The girl's already kind of beginning to cower and shrink, trying to make herself as small as possible. The police chief got asked the other day by a reporter, can an officer shoot the leg? Can they shoot somewhere that won't result in a fatal wound? What an idiot, but that's his question. The police officer chief's response is, we don't train to shoot the leg. That's a small target. We train to shoot center mass to stop the threat. There was a deadly force threat underway. The officers trained to shoot center mass. A veteran gun reporter was on Fox News and said that you see all these people shooting the leg, the hand. He said that's TV-inspired nonsense, and that's true. And then you had someone else who's really smart and knowledgeable in all these kinds of things. I say that tongue-in-cheek, and I can barely get my mouth to move because my tongue is so deep in my cheek. The readout host on MSNBC, Joy Reid, said, well, I've seen knife fights stopped by teachers before. They didn't need a gun. Listen to this.
I remember fights in even high school or even younger than that where a kid brought a penknife or something to school and teachers were able to defuse that and they didn't have guns.
Yeah, that's right. Teachers got a penknife. You know the difference between a penknife? A penknife, even when opened up, normally probably wouldn't be much more than a magic marker. The knife being held by Makia Bryant, clearly in the video, the blade is probably 2.5 to 3 times longer than the handle, and it looks like a minimum of 8 inches is what my guesstimation would be. That's not a little penknife. You don't see a teacher stopping that on the schoolyard generally. So again, the officer arrives. He's been told there's a 911 call. Somebody's got a knife. They're worried they're going to be killed. So he rolls up. He doesn't pull his gun right away. He pulls up, sees them tussling, and he starts trying to say, hey, what? Calm down here. And then things escalate.
Hey. What's going on? Hey, what's going on?
Hey, 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 get down, get down, get down, get down.
He did what he thought. As you hear, he didn't come up looking for trouble, didn't use any racial slurs or anything. He came up to stop some kids with pushing and shoving around, and when he sees a knife, things escalate. And, of course, when he fired the shot, I knew someone was going to raise this, and sure enough, it came up. It came up because when he fired the shot, on the other side of Makia is the girl she's trying to hit.
I look at that video and I ask if that were my child, you know, or if my child were the child in pink who was so close to Makia when she was shot, you know, what would have happened? I think a lot of people are asking that.
They're asking it because you're putting it in their mind. Yeah, it's a very close shooting. Yeah, and yeah. And then if he had accidentally shot the other child, oh, there'd be even more hell to pay. But he didn't. He didn't shoot the other child. That was one of the CNN smart anchors. Got more to say on this in the next segment and through the rest of the hour. Stand by.
You can connect with Larry on Twitter at LarryConnorsUSA.
Mustang Sally. Guess you better slow up than Mustang down.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
The killing of 16-year-old Makayla Bryant by the Columbus police is tragic. She was a child. We know that police violence disproportionately impacts Black and Latino people in communities, and that Black women and girls, like Black men and boys, experience higher rates of police violence. Our focus is on working to address systemic racism and implicit bias head-on, and of course to passing laws and legislation that will put much-needed reforms into place at police departments around the country.
Okay, I got that. That's Jen Psaki of the White House, her statement from the other day. That is a tragic situation that the 16-year-old, and I apologize if I've been mispronouncing. I didn't know if it's Makia or Makia. I think she said Makia. But the bottom line is she's questioning, you know, we had to be concerned because we had a police officer shooting down a 16-year-old. And it turns out, and I've been kind of researching this, just found it. As I said, my computer had been down for a while, but I thought so. I just wanted to verify. All the others involved in that event were adults. The two women attacked were 22 and 20. Now, the neighbor across the street through the Ring camera that had on, you know, he says the video clearly doesn't lie. The officers arrived, and then all of a sudden it escalates quickly because when the officer sees the knife. And other officers are also pulling up, by the way, in their car, and they begin to see it, and they began to rush to it, but they are still a distance away. And I told you I saw a man, appear to be a full-grown man, attacking the woman that went down the ground, kicking at her. It is tragic if anyone is killed, I don't care what the situation is, be it a police accident or by a criminal. But in this case, again, the officer did what he thought he had to. Now, the officer has been on the force for 16 months, has military training, 23 years of age. I think that's the last report I saw that he's 23. But he had some military training. And I'm thinking that can't be right more than I think about it at 23. He had been on the force for 16 months. That is clear by every piece of information I find. And yeah, but he is 23, but he had some military training. But at that moment, he did open fire. And then, of course, everybody's saying, well, he could have killed the girl he's trying to save. Again, this is one of the CNN commentators raising that for everyone who wants to make the noise about it.
I look at that video and I ask if that were my child, you know, or if my child were the child in pink who was so close to Micaiah when she was shot, you know, what would have happened? I think a lot of people are asking that.
But you're not saying, and again, that's the CNN Breonna Keeler saying, I'm thinking, would that have happened? Well, if it's your child, you're not just asking that. You're asking, or first of all, it's your child that got saved. I would imagine you'd be thanking the officer for saving your child. Would you not? If it's your child that has a knife and he shoots a kid, yeah, you're probably saying, not. Did you have to do that? Well, the mother of that girl that was going to be killed and her friends and relatives, they're probably thankful the officer did what he did. A black officer does arrive on the scene. Now, what if the black officer had been the one to see it first and he did the same thing? What he could have done? We don't know, do we? But if you're going to always make these about race, you're not really dealing with justice anymore. Not real. You're dealing with social justice. And you need to look at the reality of the situation. Tell me if it's your child that's going to be stabbed by another person. I don't care what their color is or anything. Do you want the officer to stop them or not? And thank God the victim he's trying to save was not hit by his bullet, because that would have been an entirely different event, wouldn't it? They're going to be going through it over and over again. And it's understandable anytime there's a police shooting, you're going to do it. But, of course, you still have these other people insisting, like Joy Behar said, well, couldn't he have just shot the gun in the air? Are you absolutely an idiot? Shoot the gun into the air? The bullet comes down somewhere. What if it fell 8 blocks away and hit a 5-year-old out on the tricycle? And God help us if it's a 5-year-old child that's black, because the officer was trying to kill him too. We're going to break this down more, looking at media coverage. Stand by, please.
You can email Larry at LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com. LarryConnorsUSA@gmail.com.
I'm sure many of you do enjoy entertaining guests. I mean, it's your nature to be hospitable, but we all draw the line at unwelcome guests. You know, those that come in tramping around, oh, they're 6 feet, 8 feet, more. And when that happens, you do not want to delay. Call Rottler Pest Solutions immediately. Now, I started using Rottler more than 30 years ago because I wanted professionals. Rottler knows what is needed, and at the same time, will make sure that your family and pets are safe. Rottler is still family-owned and operated for 3 generations, protecting homes and businesses. 3 generations. That's impressive. So when you want to safely, expertly get rid of ants, spiders, and other critters, call Rottler Pest Solutions, 877-ROTTLER, or you can check their website, rottler.com, 877-ROTTLER, 877-ROTTLER, Rottler Pest Solutions, rottler.com.
This is Larry Connors, USA.
Larry Connors, USA.
Nakia Bryant, a 16-year-old girl in Columbus, Ohio, called the police for help. An officer was on the scene, and in 22 seconds, he shot her dead. An honor roll student who's making TikTok videos on makeup and hair. This hasn't stopped. And still, 40 minutes after that ruling, a 16-year-old girl can be shot in front of her house. So, no, I'm not hopeful, because unless there is wholesale change, abolishment of this institution that continues to fail tax-paying black people in this country, everything else is just fanciful thinking.
That is Jason Johnson appearing on a clip that Tucker Carlson used last night. He was identified as a Morgan State University professor of communication. I thought, well, who is he exactly? What do you mean, professor of communication? He's a black man, And the professor of communication, once they looked at it, he's listed as a political scientist. They say he's primarily, he is an associate professor of politics and journalism. He primarily deals with political campaigns, wrote a book, Political Consultants and Campaigns, One Day to Sell. I'm not knocking any of that. I'm just trying to get a handle on him. When I see professor of communication, I don't know what he means. Well, apparently this, he does know something about journalism, or should. And yet, when he's on MSNBC, he's not trying to be a journalist, or he's just expressing his view. I have no problem with that either. But again, his point being, Makia Bryant made the call for 911, and when police arrive, she's calling for help. When they arrive, they end up shooting her. Now, we have not heard yet from the police if she were the one. And let me put it this way. I haven't seen a real confirmation that satisfies me. Did she make the call? She may well have made the call. And then she goes out, and she's going to confront them, and she's got the knife. So when the officer arrives, he doesn't know who made the call or anything else. He just sees what's unfolding in front of him. But then when you hear him say, killing black citizens, taxpayer, you know, he saved a black citizen. He also saved someone by his action. If there were another way, if she didn't have the knife in her hand and she's just beating the girl, the other girl with her fist, yeah, he should not have used a weapon at that point. Then he could have gotten the taser and maybe put a stop to it. And that'd been the best thing as opposed to trying to get between them, and then he gets hurt, maybe they get hurt more as well, including the intended victim, much less the attacker. But when the knife is out, things escalate quickly. The officer is trained to help protect. Do you think in his mind he thought, well, if I kill one black person, save a black person, am I doing right? He was acting on instinct. My job is to protect. Somebody's got a knife. They're going to kill this person or at least harm them severely if I don't stop them. And you get this political scientist commentator on MSNBC saying, when is it going to stop? Taxpayer dollar, black citizens. He saved a black citizen. Why don't you talk about that? I cannot. You just can't get through on some of this because they're so locked into their narrative. I told you the other day, there's a 13-year-old, also Ohio girl. This took place in Columbus, Ohio, the video we're seeing. But there's a 13-year-old girl in the neighborhood of Cincinnati. A 13-year-old Ohio girl did take a knife, this time a pocket knife, probably bigger than a pen knife, not as big as the one we saw, and she fatally stabbed another 13-year-old girl. Pulled the knife and slashed her and killed her. Well, what set off this thing the other day if it was Makia calling? Well, according to her mother, or I should say her grandmother, I guess, is the one who's actually overseeing it at the time, who said that Makia had made the call. According to her, what was going down, there was an argument that preceded all of that. And she said it all began over a messy house, unmade bed, her foster mother. She's the one that's saying it. Then Makia is one of her two foster children there, and then the other foster children, who used to be there, came over to help celebrate a birthday. And the older one told, you got to clean up. Mom doesn't like the house dirty. And that started an argument between Makia and the older girl. That's according to the foster mom. There's a lot of gaps in there. We still don't have everything, but we know what we saw on the video, and we know the officer was simply responding to something he'd been sent on. He wasn't driving to the street just, where can I find somebody that I could shoot, regardless of their color? He's dispatched. He does his job, and he gets there, and he sees the situation. I need to protect it. Molly Hemingway with the Federalist. Said, but you don't get this true story many times because the media, as I call them now, state-controlled media, they're pushing their propaganda. Molly Hemingway.
So much of the privilege that media figures have had has been built on this idea that they take and synthesize information and they provide context and help provide a shared set of facts for the American people. That's not what they're doing anymore. They have moved into straight-up propaganda.
That's exactly right. You're not getting facts. You're getting their propaganda from the beginning. Let's go back again to remarks made by the left-wing author Ibram Kendi as to what took place the other day.
It's hard for me to believe that that would have happened. It's hard to me to believe that that officer would not have responded differently for a different girl in a different community.
Based on what? Based on the belief and the narrative that white cops are always going to kill black kids any chance they can. If you were to make a blanket statement to me, if you're standing in front of me and said, you know, Larry, most black kids out there, they're pretty worthless. They don't do anything anyway. And I would challenge you immediately. What are you talking about? You can't blanketly label someone or a group like that. But others had no problem of labeling every cop is a killer. And in this case, trying to stop a girl from being knifed, Tucker Carlson drilled down on that. Listen to his explanation.
At a triumphant press conference yesterday, leading Democrats unveiled their findings, which are now a plank in the party's platform. They're going to allow children to stab each other. Now, stabbing people has long been taboo in this country, especially for those under the age of 18. For decades, young Americans have hidden their switchblades, their stilettos, their K-bars, their machetes. Kids were forced to live as if plunging blades into strangers was something to be ashamed of, instead of a normal, healthy part of childhood. But no more. Knife fights are human rights. Stabbing can finally come out of the closet.
I know most of this audience is smart enough to know the irony of what he's expressing. But it's true. I mean, if it's a knife, okay. You know, and in fact, some of them were saying, Joy Reid had mentioned, hey, we had those at school all the time. Molly Hemingway, again, from The Federalist, talks about the difference between what might happen when kids get together and start kind of pushing and shoving or even throwing fists compared to what happened here. Molly Hemingway again.
In this case, it does seem that they are desiring to foment racial division because that aligns with the political goals of their favorite party on the left. But they do it in so many ways. I think people need to stop being surprised when they see it happening because it happens with everything, whether it's the Russia collusion hoax or the Kavanaugh hoax or the Covington hoax or deceptively editing Governor Ron DeSantis's answer on vaccine distribution. It's just what they do as a matter of course. And this week we've seen it that they will even do it when it's something as fraught as racial division.
Yeah, she's talking again about the sense of how the media is treating it. The state-controlled media, as I say. They're trying to foment more racial division. And she went on to say there's no comparison between a backyard tussle or getting down with someone at the schoolyard and an attempted murder. She said everyone should be able to look at this situation and think how awful it is that there's even a situation where this one girl is attacking another girl. Look at that to begin with. I agree. That's a bad situation. And then also look at the question, where are the adults involved? Well, two of them would be classified as adults, 20 and 22. The one being attacked, I think, was a 20-year-old. And then an officer shows up and he's forced into a decision. He did not want to start his day doing that. But Molly Hemingway added, and it would probably fit perfectly with Tucker Carlson's remarks, that, hey, you can have a knife fight now. You're all good. It's all good to have a knife fight. Molly Hemingway says, just to make up ridiculous things like acting like it's normal for two teenagers to try to kill each other, that's not normal. And if that is normal, there's something wrong with that. But we do know there's a culture that is existing, not just in the black community, Latino community, the white community, the Asian community, just existing among kids and adults. I can do what I want. Now I got a knife and you don't, I'm going to end it right here. No, there's no justification for any of that. Obviously, there's not. But now, if you could put it in a racial context, you might get some support as Tucker Carlson was suggesting. Did you go to a school where there were often knife fights? Did you go to a school where maybe there were fights in the afternoon and everybody, we're all going to gather, these two guys are going to go at it? Might have done that. I did. And I told you the other day, I had a knife put on me when I might have been 13, 14 by another kid. And it wasn't a knife. It was a pen knife, just like we were talking about a moment ago. This was not a knife like the 16-year-old had the other day. But that is not the way we should be running our lives. Chicago has a new rule for police when it comes to dealing with possible offenders. That story and the thing I did bad that upset YouTube. Stand by.
You can follow Larry on Larry Connors USA Facebook. Larry Connors USA Facebook. This is Larry Connors USA. Larry Connors USA.
So, you know, they had this shooting the other day in Chicago. And what happened with that was the shooting death of a 13-year-old, Adam Toledo. And it appears he's got his hands up in the video that many were showing and nothing in his hands. And the officer fires and kills him. Well, when you look at the whole video before they edit it, you find he's got a weapon in his hand and he's near a fence. And as he turns around, he tosses or throws it, but the officer sees him turning. He knows he got the weapon in his hand and he fires. The pistol was not in his hand when the bullet left the officer's gun, but he saw it. And of course, they were chasing. The officers had chased down the street, running after him and some others. Our boots on the ground correspondent in Chicago sent me word that police now in Chicago are going to require additional permission for such things. I'm talking about the chase. They already have, if you're going to have a police chase by car, you have to get approval by a supervisor. Well, now Lori Lightfoot said, we're going to make a new policy change. No one should die as a result of a foot chase. So now what they're going to do is that if you're going to be in a foot chase, you have to get a superior's permission to chase someone on foot. Really? And Andrew was saying, well, he said, this will improve things. I responded, perfect. Next step, supervisors need to get approval, and then that position will need to get approval, and then the next supervisor, and eventually they will call the suspect's family to get approval. Can we chase your kid? We saw him running with a gun. That's just for a foot pursuit. Cops, they're in a difficult situation right now, whatever they do. And so am I, by the way, because of something I did. This hit my phone yesterday. I'm sitting playing some poker, and I'm having a good time, and it hit my phone. Suddenly everybody thought, what is wrong with Larry? He didn't lose a hand. He won the hand, but look at his attitude. Well, here's what happened. I saw it. Quentin told me he saw it, but he said, I'm not going to bother you with it. I thought, I don't want to bother you. I said, well, I got it too. Here it came. Your content violated YouTube's community guideline standards and has been removed. So what the heck is it? YouTube, hi, Larry Connors USA. We reviewed your content and unfortunately, Mike. He said, we think it violates our spam, deceptive practices, and scams policy. We removed the following content from YouTube. Now, what did they pull off? I'll come to that in a moment. They say, we know this might be disappointing, but it's important that YouTube is a safe place for all. If content breaks our rules, we remove it. And if you think we made a mistake, you can appeal and we'll take another look. Keep reading for more details. Well, I didn't care about reading the rest of the details. I did send a letter back to the email that came to me. I put a reply on it and I sent it back. I said it was a radio interview. It was a radio interview with a guest. I'll tell you in a moment. I said it was a radio interview. I allow my guests to make their points on any issue. It is called the First Amendment. I added, I also quoted LeBron James' remarks about the Columbia, South Carolina shooting and reaction he received. Even the reaction from O.J. Simpson. I've had John Kerry explain the climate change and also other scientists disputing some of his remarks. I've had Democrats claiming that Trump stole the election from Hillary. When do we stop on the First Amendment? I felt pretty proud of myself. You know, I composed, I think, something succinct and direct, defending the First Amendment. What kind of reply did I get? Address not found. It got kicked back to me. I can't send them an email. I went through, then how do I get an email to get a response? There is no way. But they made the threat. Said, we took this off because it violated, let me read the phrase again. It violated our standards, which basically, according to them, is saying that you're creating false claims that advance widespread fraud. And it added to it, widespread fraud, errors or glitches change the outcome of the U.S. 2020 presidential election is not allowed on YouTube. So if I believe it was fraud or it wasn't done or there were computer glitches, I can't say that on YouTube. My guest said it, and I allowed the guest to do it, and I'm going to have the guest back. I guess it won't go on YouTube. The guest, the guest, Sidney Powell. Now, a lot of people think she's bonkers, she's crazy anyway. She's an attorney, been in the practice before the Supreme Court and everything else. She was not necessarily part of the Trump team in the beginning, but when they were making the challenges, and there's an Arizona challenge, by the way, still underway on some of the ballot machines, I had her on and put it up on YouTube. It's her opinion, her remarks. I tend to agree with some of them, but not all of them. But because I ran an interview with her and put it on YouTube, widespread fraud about the outcome of the U.S. 2020 presidential election. Where the hell was the complaints and concerns, the widespread fraud about Trump having Russian collusion to win against Hillary? Oh, yeah, that's right. That was Trump. I did a bad, bad thing. I'm going to sit in my corner. I'm going to be silent from now on. You watch and wait. Stick around. Let your friends and neighbors know about this program, will you? And remember our pledge, one nation under God.
This is Larry Connors USA.
Larry Connors USA.
Thank you for listening to Larry Connors USA. Please listen to previous and future podcasts.